Between 1929 and 1976, Belgian cartoonist Georges Rémy, better known as Hergé, wrote and illustrated 23 books. They featured the worldly adventures of a blank-faced protagonist named Tintin. Since that time, the Tintin books have been translated to more than 50 languages, they've sold hundreds of millions of copies, and they attract 2 million new fans per year. This year marks Hergé's 100th birthday, and European cities are celebrating with exhibitions and retrospectives of his work. Last month, Steven Spielberg and Peter Jackson announced that they would direct a series of films based on the Tintin series. But for all the accolades, Hergé has also been criticized over the years. He's been called a fascist, a racist, and a misogynist. Cartoonist R. Sekuriak joins us now to talk about Hergé's legacy and influence. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
The character himself had just little dot eyes and very simple line drawings for his figure and really for everything around him. It looks very different from the heavily stylized superhero cartoons of the era.
Oh, absolutely. That's the whole European style that's completely different from the American style. And what's interesting is he's almost like Charlie Brown in his simplicity, and yet the adventures have more in common with newspaper characters that we'd be familiar, like Terry and the Pirates or Steve Canyon, which were much more rugged and thick, heavy brush strokes and dark shadows and much more manly in an American way, I suppose. So I think the contrast between this very clean, clear line style and the globetrotting adventures was something that Americans hadn't seen before.
Tintin was not Donald Duck. He was not Garfield the Cat. Hergé wasn't looking for just universal little strokes of humor. He was exploring cultures and ideas. Can you give me some examples of the subject matter that he explored over the years?
One of the strips that he began in 1940 cast the Germans as villains, and that strip was quickly shut down. During the war, he kind of avoided those topics, but certainly into the 50s, he wasn't averse to showing nations fighting against nations, stealing weaponry. There was a lot of Cold War references. The last story that was done was about a South American dictatorship being toppled.
Tintin was often caught up in the swirl of momentous world events, and so too Hergé. He was cartooning in Belgium in 1940 when the Nazis occupied. What happened?
The paper that he was drawing the strip for was shut down, and he began working for the approved paper at the time, and he continued working with them through the war. And I don't want to be an apologist for him, but it strikes me as more obliviousness than collaboration.
Although he did officially have to answer to charges of being a collaborator, no?
Yes, he did, and he continued to have to answer for them for the rest of his life.
He's also gotten a lot of criticism for what I guess I just have to call political incorrectness on a grand scale.
He's been called
a racist. He's taken hits on environmental grounds. Tell me what in the text has exposed him to this criticism.
Well, maybe the worst example is the book where he goes to the Congo and meets the natives and explains to them why it's okay to be part of the Belgian Empire. And I think the nicest way you can put it was that it was naive of him.
So even if he was a creature of his times, his Congo visit was in the 30s, after all, he at least eventually became aware that the caricatures that he was drawing and the ideas they implied really were in some way objectionable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know exactly where his opinions came up and where his desire to please his publishers arose, but certainly a lot of the stuff that was the most egregious was revised and edited out. I would like to think that that was him just becoming slightly more aware.
Okay, 23 different books. What's your favorite episode?
Tintin in Tibet. It's probably the most personal one of the series. Around that time, Hergé was in the middle of a breakup with his first wife, and his psychoanalyst suggested that he stop doing Tintin stories, and I don't think that ever would have occurred to him. So instead, he basically took Tintin on this quest to find an old friend, a character named Chang, who was in one of the earliest stories, and Chang is in a plane crash in the mountains, and Tintin has to go find him while no one else believes that he's there. And there's pages of Tintin walking through the snow and just on a quest, and a more personal quest, I think, than any other book. That's a great example of this icon who in some ways is incredibly generic, and yet Hergé is able to use that character and all of the associations we have with that character to sort of reflect his own emotions and his own turmoil. It's actually rather moving.
Well, Bob, I thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
R. Sekuriak's work has appeared in The New Yorker, Nickelodeon Magazine, Drawn and Quarterly, and the Dear Departed Raw Magazine. That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Tony Field, Jamie York, Mike Volo, Mark Phillips, and Nazanin Rafsanjani, and edited by nobody. Brooke is in Moscow. Dylan Keefe is our technical director, and Jennifer Munson, our engineer. We had engineering help from Paul Schneider and other help from Madeline Ellish and Andrea Ambrose. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer, and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. Brooke Gladstone will be back next week. I'm Amy Eddings.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
On the Media is supported by the Bydell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.